You suggested that we think about peace. And of course, the first question is, what do you mean? Is the part of the whole, the peace of the whole, or is it the peace which is the equivalent of health in humanity? Actually, the two are connected. So there are two sides to the story which I'd like to address. The one, peace, P-I-E-C-E. Apart from a larger whole, and there we need to understand that always the part apart is always a part of the whole. So even though we can look at it as a piece of the puzzle, we need to still remember that there is a bit of puzzling to do to show the larger picture. So with that in mind, that apart is always a part of the whole, then we can also understand that peace is based on that principle. If you understand the larger picture, if you understand the larger whole, then you will live in peace, because you will know that what you're doing fits what goes on elsewhere. What somebody else is doing fits with what goes on elsewhere. So what you are doing, what the other is doing, is all part of the larger picture. So you will always be able to puzzle together how what you do, what the other does, will match up at the edges, just like the pieces of the puzzle will do that, and show the connections between what you do and what the other does. And also makes clear that what you're doing, what the other is doing, is actually part of something larger still. One of the fundamental definitions I have for the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, is that it is the equivalent of health. So what we experience as health in our body, we experience as peace in humanity. And as you know, I always work the principle that every human is a cell in the body of humanity. So we can immediately translate the relation between health and peace, so that what goes on within us, how it goes on between us, even though we need to translate the difference between you as an individual and you as a cell in the body of humanity. The Western world culture has lost picture of that. Religion, religious education, religion politics, and all that has been focused on the old Roman model of slavery, the master and slave model. Somebody tells you what to do and you should comply, and it ignores the fact that you already have your life by yourself, and it's not about complying to what the other says or does, but together discovering something else. And this is where I need to come back to that image which I use a lot, that when we develop from baby to child to adolescent to adult, we in a way also develop or trace the development from cell to plant to animal to human. Because for the understanding of the peace in humanity, we need to understand how the peace is part of the whole. And that we can easily see when we trace that relationship from the cell to the plant to the animal to the species or all life on Earth. Because there we can see that the cell is or the seed is like a point. It is self-contained, but it is in a way also limited. You can put it in the soil, but you'll have to wait for something to happen, for something to develop, for something to come out of that. In the same way, the baby in the cradle is all self-fulfilled and will shout out loud whatever it thinks is interesting, whether it be meat to eat or to shit or to sleep or to play. But it's always a shout out into the universe of what's going on only within the baby itself. There's no other perspective in that sense. It's always a own experience of something what happens around. And in politics you can see that too, in the level of the dictator It's the dictator view, which then should be projected onto everybody. Everybody should comply. And that's a very low level of development in nature and a low level of development in politics. The next level in politics would be of that of an oligarchy. Essentially, you could compare that to the parents having a child, which is being living in a setting, say in the house, basically the same as a plant living in a pot of the, or the tree standing in the soil. It is rooted in a very specific place. It cannot get away from that, and it will develop within the constraints of that environment. And the development that it has is that it grows up, which in society we could call the hierarchy. And the hierarchy is where you not have one cell, but you have one cell after the other, after the other, after the other. So the one cell is rooted in the earth, and then it passes the food on to the next cell, which passes on to the next cell, passes on to the next cell. And that can go up as high as there is still nutrients left for the other cells to process. So that basically determines the height of the tree or the plant. The other way around, the leaves out there in the air will capture the sunlight and bring the sunlight down, 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 again in the hierarchical fashion from top down, and then feed microbes at the roots with light so that they can better digest the soup of the earth, which they can feed to the plants. So this hierarchical model of politics is the higher tells you what to do and the lower has to do what is being told, is a very limited and restricted form of society, and also a very brittle form of society, because there is an immediate relationship, but there is also an immediate dependency. If something goes wrong, the whole chain will break when the weakest link breaks. And in that sense, it is not a very stable system for a society. So a hierarchy is not a social structure to be aspired to, because it's too limited. Just as the same as in biology, the plants were a very good life form to be able to relate the earth and the soil to the air and the water and the light, but it needed something else to become more independent, more autonomous, more having an own life, which happened with the emergence of the life forms. We need this transition from cell to plant to animals to say humans and conscious living beings, because that is where we need to have the understanding for peace, how the part is part of the whole. With the seed, you can see it is part of the earth. With the plant, you can see that it is part of the earth on the one side and part of the air, the climate, on the other side. It is bridging a difference. With the animal, you can see that it is bridging a difference in a different way. With the plant, it is still static. So let's call that difference as the seed will have embedded peace. If it is in its proper environment, it will be at peace. It will be the peace of the whole there where it is. With the plant, it will be conditional peace. If it is in the conditions, if it is rooted in the soil where it belongs, then it will be at peace. It is a piece of that landscape, and it will be in balance, and it will have its integrity there. In the animal system, it is no longer a piece by being part of the earth, it is a piece of the climate, of the environment of the earth. What we would see in politics as the democratic system, where people have different opinions, can come together around the table and share their opinions, just like families would do, or adolescents having parties together, they can then redefine how they relate. And in fact, in politics, this is where there should not be coalitions, which is the reintroduction of hierarchy. And this is where there should not be power structures such as legal or financial system, which is basically a fallback on the cellular system. but it should be, say, a King Arthur kind of, everybody's around the table, everybody has their opinion, and everybody then knows what everybody else is doing, and thus can know what they can best be doing, because the others cannot do that, because they're not in that place, not in that position. Everybody is informed by each other, so they think as one organism, but they act as a single organism. Democracy is the transition, a democracy that works well is the transition between the collective organism and the individual organism, which is what you have when an animal travels in an environment, in a territory. It will have its sleeping place, it will have the place where it excretes, it will have the place where it eats, it will have the place where it hunts or plays and learns. And there is a transition in the dynamic in that environment. So the piece of the animal level is the dynamic piece. It's conditional, but it's also conditioning. It is interacting, it is interactive. As in puberty, people learn that they are limited in themselves, but that there is an other, say male complementing the female. As a result, together they can do something which neither of them can do alone. Likewise, in democracy, people discover that together they can do things alone which they cannot. So when they do them together, they function as a larger organism, but they can only do it because they can function as an individual organism. So at that level, peace is double-sided. It is a piece of the whole, and yet to be a piece in itself as well. How the human is an identity with an integrity and part of the earth and the earth environment, and thus can self-subsist, can exist by itself. But at the same time, and at this time humanity has some difficulty to as yet understand that and live it, every human is part of humanity, which means that every society is part of humanity. That means what everybody does in a group is something that that group does in humanity. That's where, like bickering adolescents, humanity is sort of stuck and hasn't transcended yet to the next level of understanding, and that is why peace breaks down. People have difficulty realizing that peace for humanity needs to be founded on peace in the individual, and that peace in the individual is based on realizing that you're always a piece of the whole, but the other one likewise is a piece of the whole. That doesn't mean that the other one needs to be like you. Many religions sort of impose that as a condition, that you can only deal with the people who are like you, the us kind of people, and the other kind of people, despise them, detest them, kill them, whatever. No, it's not how it works. The other people are the rest of humanity. They're the essential other part of humanity. They're the other part of you that you do not know as yet. They're the other piece of the puzzle, and your piece as a piece of the puzzle is incomplete without the other piece of the puzzle. So your peace as being tranquil, content within you, is not satisfied if the other is not satisfied in their peace. That's what Buddhism says, that as long as not everybody is at peace, the work is not finished yet. You might be at peace in yourself, but if that is not mutual, then humanity cannot be at peace in itself. And that peace in yourself and that peace in humanity is based on the understanding that you're both human and humanity. It needs a double-sided thinking. Just as in puberty, as a boy or a girl, you're only half of the picture. It's only when boy and girl come together that male and female together can produce a new human, and humanity can live on. So humanity is not the male or the female. Humanity is the male and the female. Peace is not your opinion or the opinion of the other. Peace is your opinion and the opinion of the other. So we need to grow beyond that level of puberty to realize that the opposite point of view is just as valid, and the opposite point of view is not to be denied or killed off, as some cultures do it, especially the religious cults do that, but to realize that the other point of view is the part of the story that you do not see and do not know. But if you would have been on the other side of the equation, that is how you would live it. So that is where you need to see that there are two sides of the equation, and the piece of the puzzle and the other piece of the puzzle are part of the same puzzle. You need to see that you no longer think in parts of pieces of the puzzle, but you actually need to shift the mindset to think in terms of the puzzle as a whole. It's called the universal principles of creation, being a creator in creation, the God principle, that you can generate, operate and destroy things. So you need to do that with integrity and identity. And when you start to learn that, you have reached a Buddhist level of peace in yourself and peace in the world. But that doesn't mean yet that you can go to the next level. And so the third level is that level of the animal, and the animals still are preying on each other because they are not able to condition their conditions. If you want to be able to get out of this vertical dominance of the hierarchy of the food chain, you need to be able to produce your own food rather than kill something else so that you can live, which is basically murder. And that's why some of the books said, thou shalt not kill, because you cannot get out of that trap if you don't stop killing. You need to accept that the other piece of the puzzle is just as valid, has just as much right to live as you do, and that if you want to be self-sufficient in your being, if you want to be at peace in yourself and with yourself, you need to understand how you, as an individual being, are part of the universe and part of the earth and part of the whole process dynamics of the ecology of earth. So in that sense, you need to understand that you're not the cell, you're not the plant, you're not the animal, but you're something else. You're a gardener in paradise, that you can actually take stuff that other life forms are no longer using and put that together and use that for other purposes. You're the ideal recycler of the shit of the other life forms. The leaves that fall are a source of nutrients and food. All cattle can be fed on the leaves of the trees if you have the right trees. Fish can be fed on the leaves of the trees, as is the case in the mangrove fish, the kiddie ponds of the new fish growing. But why would you need to feed cattle? Because cattle can feed itself. If you stop eating meat, you don't need to feed the cattle anymore. The cattle can feed itself. But you need to learn to feed yourself. You need to learn how the seed, the plant, the animal, and all life together is connected. Because only when you see how they are connected that you can see that the pieces of the puzzle actually form the puzzle, but you can then also see that the puzzle itself has a much bigger story, a much larger story, a much more complete story than any of the pieces of the puzzle can contain. And you can only come to peace in yourself and with others if you can see that larger picture, if the other two can see that larger picture, if you can see that the conflict is never between you and the other, but perhaps mainly or rarely the conflict for survival in the environment. But once you can work together on solving the situation, you no longer need to compete with the other, but you can complete the other. You can mutually complete each other, and that's where peace then starts to come. When you know that you're both a piece of the puzzle, then the piece of being at peace in yourself and at peace with the other comes because you know how you relate to yourself, you know how you relate to the whole, and by you relating to the whole, you know that the other one relates to the whole likewise, and then you can discover how you relate to each other and how you complete rather than compete with each other. So peace is actually a kind of state of mind, a growing up from the seed to the plant to the animal to the conscious life form. And it is the change in understanding that the piece of the puzzle always has a relationship to the other pieces of the puzzle, and that thereby you can look for the other pieces of the puzzle which complement and complete you. And as a result, that together you can form clusters of the puzzle which have more of the story, so that then as clusters of the puzzle, that's called a society or a community, you can connect to other societies and other communities which have the other bits of information of the puzzle, so that those pieces can come together and peace can be within them and between them. So the more you discover how you complement and complete the other, and of course this needs to be done outside of artificial constructs like money and monopolization. When from within you see how your being in that larger group complements the being of other people in other groups, and then you can see how these groups form a whole, how they can feed into each other, how can they nourish and educate each other, how they can learn from each other and with each other. And that as a result, they can be more at peace with themselves because they have more understanding of how the picture as a whole works. And of course, when you upscale this idea, how you've gone from the baby to the child to the adolescent, you then come to the adult. And as an adult, you realize that everybody on Earth is part of humanity, that humanity as a whole is the organism which we all form part of. And then you can actually literally experience that the health in the human is the equivalent, but also the foundation of the peace in humanity. So where health is the physical experience of unity, peace is the mental or the psychological, the social, ecological experience of unity. And thus health, and thus wealth. Because when people help each other, they become healthy. When people support each other, they become wealthy. And that is not conditional on people providing money, yes or no. And that is not conditional on there being food, yes or no. Because at that level of existence, it is not about subsistence, but it's about creativity. That you can always find materials which you can turn into food. You can always find materials which you can turn into energy. Humanity has now achieved a level of knowledge and understanding, let's call it science, which is close to becoming a wisdom, where people can actually create their own food. They can create their own energy. The only thing that people can need to get rid of is this slave control model of monopolization and money. As soon as that disappears from the picture, people can realize that they are no longer crippling each other, but they can help each other, that they're all humans in humanity, they're all piece of the larger puzzle, they can all express their specific, unique, individual qualities of being a human and humanity, and then they can discover and how they can complement and complete each other thereby. And how in completing each other, they stop competing with each other, because they can complement each other and thereby can go from antergy to synergy. Instead of opposing each other, they help each other. Much more is achieved, much more comes out, much more is produced, and you get a creation of abundance. It just keeps on giving more and more and more. And we all have that choice. If we go to the implosion cycle or the explosion cycle, if you take away from others or if you give to others, the more people give each other, the more it goes around and the more can be given, because everything is free to give. and the more people take from each other, the less there is to go around, and at the end everybody dies from starvation in body, mind, soul and spirit. So essentially it's all a mindset. If you understand that you're only a piece of the larger whole, then you can look for the larger whole in you, and you can find that what is larger in you, and then you can express that. Religions try to instill that kind of attitude in people. And in politics, you can see that there's two types of politics. The politics where that kind of generosity stands central, or the groups of politics where that is not. And you can actually move to a country where generosity is being shared, where people do help each other, where there is a mutual support, where taxation actually pays for everything that everybody needs and not for the development of war machinery or competition gear. And so you can choose, you can vote by your feet, which kind of culture you would like to support and increase and amplify on the planet. But you can only do that if you stop thinking that you're a piece, or that you're a broken piece of something. You need to realize that you're an unbroken part of the whole, and that the whole is where your power lies, where your strength lies, where your wisdom lies. Once you see that within you, you can experience it within you, and it will radiate out from you. Others can recognize it through you. I call that contagious health. People can then thereby support each other. That creates a generosity which will amplify what everybody's doing, which is called abundance. And out of that comes a new relationship to the environment, because the environment will be improved. All life forms will be recognized, respected, and given their own place of being, and life will not be at the expense of life, but life will be making use of what other life forms throw off in abundance. As I mentioned, when the tree throws off the leaves, that is an immense amount of energy which can be used as long as it in some way feeds the soil again. So yes, you can capture leaves in between and use it for something, and then what you have left over, feed that to the soil so that it can feed the plants in an even more rich manner. And it is that kind of understanding which then creates peace from the realization that you are a piece of the larger whole, and the experience of being a piece of the larger whole, P-I-E-C-E, of the larger whole, is felt as peace, P-E-A-C-E, within you. It's that simple.